الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our readings and the work by أم عبد الله الوادعية حفظها الله تعالى نصيحتي للنساء my advice to the women we have been reading in the chapter about الحجاب وغض البصر the obligation and the legislation of الحجاب the proper Islamic covering for the women and likewise the issue of lowering the gaze and our discussion continues about the affairs related to al-hijab al-hijab al-shar'i the legislated covering that is incumbent for the Muslim woman to learn and to follow and to abide by whenever she comes out of her home whenever she's in the presence of strange men and the author she says and we continue from where we had left off ومن الناس من يقول إن الحجاب خاص بأزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم and from the people there are those who claim that the hijab meaning the obligation of the Islamic covering the obligation of the Islamic covering is specific for the wives of the Prophet is specific for the wives of the Prophet and some people they make this claim and they have an evidence for that from the book but it does not indicate that which they claim And in reality, whenever looking at all of the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah in this regard, one will be able to see the truth clearly. And from the clearest proof, clarifying this before we even begin reading, is to remember the first verse that the author she mentioned in establishing this issue, that Allah the Most High says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their veils all over their bodies, meaning to screen themselves completely, except the eyes or one of the eyes, so they are able to see the way. And the issues and benefits from this particular verse have preceded. And Allah, He says, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَلَّا يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا That will be better that they should be known as free, respectable women, and so that they should not be bothered nor annoyed or taken advantage of, and Allah is ever all forgiving and most merciful. So this verse here clearly clarifies the fact that Allah had ordered His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to order His wives and His daughters and the women of the believers that they must cover their self properly. That they must cover their self properly. So there are individuals who make a claim. They make a claim that the hijab is only specific for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they use a verse in the Book of Allah for this and they disregard many other evidences, which is the well-known way of the people of deviation and innovation, which is the well-known way of the people of misguidance and those who have deviation in their hearts, that they go to verses that are not entirely clear and they leave off verses that are clear and they seek to misinterpret the verses in this manner. So she says, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ Because Allah the Most High, He says, يَا نِسَاءِ النَّبِي لَسْتُنَّ كَأَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ لَسْتُنَّ كَأَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ O wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are not like anyone from the women. You are not like anyone else from the other women. إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطَمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا And this is because Allah the Most High, He says, O wives of the Prophet, you're not like any other women. If you keep your duty to Allah, then be not soft in speech, lest he in whose heart is a disease, meaning of hypocrisy or evil desires for adultery and other actions of deviation and lewdness, should be moved with desires. And the people who have diseases in their hearts should be moved with desires, but speak to them in an honorable manner. But speak to them in an honorable manner. So the response, she says, "Well, jawab anna nisa al-umma tabaun li nisa al-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illa ma khassahu al-dalil." And the response to this is that the women of the ummah, they are following in accordance with the same law and legislation as the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except and that which has been mentioned specifically by evidence, except and that which has been mentioned specifically by an evidence. So there is no evidence here for this affair.
There is no evidence clarifying that this is specific. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was ordered sallallahu alaihi wasallam to command all of the Muslim women, his wives and his daughters, and those believing women too, to cover themselves properly. To cover themselves properly. And the author, she mentioned the statement from Al-Imam al-Shanqiti, قَالَ الشَّيْخُ الشَّنْقِيطِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي أَضْوَاءِ الْبَيَانِ. الشيخ al-Shanqiti, he mentioned in his tafsir, which is known as أَضْوَاءَ الْبَيَانِ, أَضْوَاءَ البيان في تفسير القرآن بالقرآن, the light of clarification and the interpretation of the Quran by the Quran. And Shaykh Muhammad Al-Amin al-Shanqiti rahimahullah ta'ala, he is from the teachers and scholars of many of our mashaykh, and he is from the teachers of the likes of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin ibn Hamad al-Abad al-Badr hafidhahullah ta'ala. We would hear him often saying qala shaykhuna, our teacher, our shaykh, he has said, and narrating benefits from Al-Shaykh al-Shanqiti rahimahullahu ta'ala. He's from the great scholars of our day and from the teachers of our teachers. Alhamdulillah, and he has many great works, and from that a great tafsir and clarification, interpretation of the verses of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. In this tafsir, he brings so many great benefits, first and foremost, like the title, clarifying the meanings of the Quran by other verses in the Quran. And likewise, he will as well, of course, bring narrations. In addition to that, and also principles in fiqh, especially the issues in usul al-fiqh. And Shaykh Shanqiti, he's well known for his knowledge of the Arabic language, and likewise the sciences of usul al-fiqh. So in that which he's mentioning here, he's clarifying some principles with regards to this to establish the proof. And I'm saying this because in reality, this portion here is kind of heavy. So she says that he mentioned in this work, adwa' Al-Bayyan, and she says, عِنْدَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, in the statement of Allah the Most High, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنَّ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically, and when you ask his wives sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُنَّ, whenever you ask his wives for anything you want, ask them from behind a screen. Ask them from behind a curtain. That is pure for your hearts and for their hearts. That is pure for your hearts and for their hearts. So here the order for the hijab specifically in dealing with the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there should be a screen between them and between the people, between them and between the men that are not from the household. And whenever they ask behind the curtain and not directly. They ask behind the curtain and not directly. So the Shaykh, he says with regards to this, rahimahullah. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in this verse, clarifying this ruling and then mentioning the wisdom behind that, that in this manner it's pure for your hearts and for their hearts. More pure for your hearts, more pure for your hearts and their hearts. And by asking them for your needs or anything that you need to ask from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by asking in this manner behind the veil and behind the curtain, then this is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. So the Shaykh, he's discussing this issue now, and he says, تَعْلِيلُهُ تَعَالَى لِهَذَا الْحُكُمْ. The fact that Allah, he mentioned the reason and the wisdom for this ruling. الَّذِي هُوَ إِجَابُ الْحِجَابِ بِكَوْنِهِ أَطْحَرَ لِقُلُوبِ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ مِنَ الرِّيبَةِ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the wisdom from this ruling. And the ruling is the obligation of the hijab. The ruling is the obligation of the hijab, for the fact that it's pure for the hearts of men and women from having these false desires and also falling into accusation. In the statement of Allah the Most High, ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَالْقُلُوبِهِنَّ, ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنَّ, that is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. So he's saying here that the fact that the obligation of the hijab is mentioned in this verse, directed to the wives of the Prophet here sallallahu alayhi wasallam specifically, the fact that the wisdom behind that is because it's more pure for your hearts and for their hearts, and further away from any foul accusations or for any lowly desires to rile up in the hearts of the believers, the male and the females, in the statement of Allah the Most High, that is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts, قَرِينَةٌ وَاضِحَةٌ عَلَى إِرَادَةِ تَعْمِيمِ الْحُكْمِ. This is a clear circumstantial evidence that what is intended from this ruling here is that it is generalized. That is intended to generalize the ruling. That the ruling, what is intended from this ruling, is general. إِذْ لَمْ يَقُلْ أَحَدٌ مِّن جَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّ غَيْرَ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا حَاجَةَ إِلَى أَطْهُورِيَةِ قُلُوبِهِنَّ وَقُلُوبِ الرِّجَالِ مِنْ الرِّبَةِ مِنْهُنَّ. This is because there is no one from all of the Muslims, not one person from all of the Muslims have claimed that the other than the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are in no need for their hearts to be pure and for the men's hearts to be pure from these lowly desires and the likes from the male and the female. So the wisdom for the ruling of putting the hijab between the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and between the men whenever they come to ask for their needs or to speak to any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, He mentioned the wisdom of that, and that is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. So no one from the Muslims ever mentioned that. No one after the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not in need of their hearts to be pure from these lowly desires and thoughts, and also from this accusation that could come about from that. Rather, this is something that all of the people share in. Rather, the people after the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu sahabati jami'an, they're in greater need for the purification of their heart and for staying away from anything that could taint their heart or corrupt their heart or lead their heart astray by ways of whims and desires, especially with regards to the lusts that are impermissible occurring between men, male and female. So no doubt those in the later generations are in more need to keep their hearts pure than even the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum. So the Shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ تَقَرَّرَ فِي الْأُصُولِ أَنَّ الْإِلَّةَ قَدْ تُعَمَّمُ أَنَّ الْإِلَّةَ قَدْ تُعَمِّمُ مَعْلُولَهَا وَإِلَيْهِ أَشَارَ فِي مَرَاقِي السُّعُودِ بِقَوْلِهِ. And it's established in al-usul, yani usul al-fiqh, the fundamentals of fiqh, or the fiqh principles. And with regards to understanding the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, there are principles in this light, and they're called usul al-fiqh. So it's known in these principles that the wisdom or the reason for a particular ruling could make that ruling general, could generalize the ruling, that the wisdom or the reason for a particular ruling could generalize the ruling, meaning there may be a ruling and it's mentioned specifically, but then coupled with that ruling is the mention of the wisdom and the reason for that ruling. And if that's the case, then that ruling would be made general, although it had come in a specific sense, or although it had come in a specific context. The fact that the wisdom is mentioned along with it would generalize the understanding of that ruling and make it applicable in a general sense. This is what he's saying, and this is what is indicated in some lines of poetry called Maraqi al-Su'ud, and some lines of poetry about Usul al-Fiqh called مراقي السعود بقوله وقد تخصص وقد تعمم لأصلها لكنها لا ولكنها لا تخرم ولكنها لا تخرم. So here he mentioned these lines of poetry, and actually there's a misprint here in the text, and in the end, the last word in this lines of poetry, it says لا تحرم. And likewise, those who translated this, they translated based upon what is here, which is an error and misprint. And it says لا تحرم, it doesn't forbid or doesn't prohibit, and that's not what is intended. Rather, لا تخرم. And this is what is found whenever you turn back to the original text of this. And actually, the Sheikh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti rahimahullah ta'ala, he has an explanation of these lines of poetry of the whole book Maraqi al-Su'ud rahimahullah. It's in two volumes, and it's very beneficial. And if you return back to that work and to this line of poetry, you'll find the proper wording, and it reads وَقَدْ تُخَصِّصُ وَقَدْ تُعَمِّمُ لِأَصْلِهَا لَكِنَّهَا لَا تُخْرِمُ لَكِنَّهَا لَا تُخْرِمُ. So the meaning is that the referring to the illah, The illah is the wisdom, the hikmah, and the wisdom, the sabab for the ruling. So we know that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Al-Hakim Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and whatever He decrees universally in the creation, and whatever He decrees universally in the creation is based upon His ultimate knowledge and supreme wisdom. And likewise, whatever Allah He judges and orders in His legislation, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, is also based upon His supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom. So many rulings have come with the clarification of that wisdom. There are sometimes, maybe there is a ruling and the wisdom is not mentioned, and the scholars, they'll strive to reach and to comprehend that wisdom, and sometimes they are correct and sometimes maybe they're not able to in certain circumstances, and they'll say this issue is ta'abudi, and this is just a ruling that is decreed from Allah, and they didn't know the wisdom behind that. So in any case, if we know the wisdom behind the ruling, then this is light upon light, and it will increase a person in faith. But if we do not know the wisdom behind the ruling or the reason for a particular ruling, then it will not decrease the faith, because we already believe in Allah. We believe in Allah in the last day, and we believe in the book of Allah, and we believe in the messenger of Allah and his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it suffices the true believer that it will reach him authentically that this ruling is established, that this ruling is established in the book or in the sunnah. In the book or in the sunnah. If after that, learning the wisdom behind that, or the reason for that particular ruling, or the benefit from establishing that ruling, then this is light upon light and goodness upon goodness, and a person's faith would increase in this manner, alhamdulillah. But if for any circumstance he did not or she did not understand the wisdom for a particular ruling, it would not decrease their faith. Rather, they would still submit. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And they say that we hear and we obey. So in many cases there are clarification of the wisdom for the rulings, like in this verse here, the wisdom for the hijab being made obligatory in this circumstance between the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the male companions, لِأَنَّهُ أَطْحَرُ لِكُلُوبِكُمْ وَلِكُلُوبِهِنَّ, because it's more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. For your hearts and for their hearts. So here the wisdom is mentioned for the order of the hijab here in this case. And the order of the hijab here is directed directly to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhunna. But the wisdom from that is mentioned. And the point that the Shaykh is making here and clarifying is that that wisdom is general. And all male and females are in need for their hearts to be pure and kept clean, and to avoid the means that would lead to these evil lusts and desires to enter into their hearts. And likewise for all false accusations to be made against them. So this is a wisdom that all of the people share in. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble companions radiyallahu anhum, and likewise those after them. So from these principles is here what is mentioned in this line of poetry. وَقَدْ تُخَصِّصُ وَقَدْ تُعَمِّمُ. And that the wisdom or the illah, the reason for the ruling, it could specify the ruling and it could generalize the ruling. لِأَصْلِهَا. قَدْ تُخَصِّصُ وَقَدْ تُعَمِّمُ لِأَصْلِهَا. That the illah, the reason and the wisdom for that ruling, it could make the ruling specific or it can make it general. It can make the ruling specific or it can make it general. لَكِنَّهَا لَا تُخْرِمُ. لَكِنَّهَا لَا تُخْرِمُ أَيْ لَا تُبْطِيرُ. لَا تُبْطِيرُ أَصْلَهَا. But it does not invalidate the ruling. It does not invalidate the fundamental ruling. So if a wisdom is mentioned along with a ruling, that ruling is the fundamental issue in that topic. The wisdom or the reason for the ruling could make that ruling specific, or it could make it general, but it will never invalidate the ruling. So this is the issue that Sheikh Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti, he's mentioning here, rahimahullah, and that the author, she's transmitting from his work, Adwa Al-Bayan. So the statement of Al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, continues. And she says now, وَقَالَ, she's summarizing now some of the benefits from this issue. وَقَالَ وَبِمَا ذَكَرْنَا تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ الدليل الواضح على أن وجوب الحجاب حكم عام في جميع النساء لا خاص بأزواجه صلى الله عليه وسلم. So she says that Al-Shanqiti, he says now, rahimahullah, that based upon what we have mentioned, you know now that in this noble verse there is a clear evidence the obligation of hijab is a general ruling for all of the women, not specific to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When kana aslul lafdhi khasun bihinna, even if the wording here, the address, is specific to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لأن عموم علته دليل على عموم الحكم فيه, because the generality of the reason and wisdom for that ruling is an evidence for the general understanding of the ruling itself. وبه تعلم, and she summarized here, and he says رحمه الله, and based upon this you know, أن حكم آية الحجاب عام لعموم علته, that the ruling for the verse of hijab, this verse here is also known as verse of the hijab likewise, and the ruling for this verse here of the hijab is general, based upon the general reason for the ruling. وإذا كان حكم هذه الآية عاما بدلالة القرينة القرآنية فاعلم أن الحجاب واجب بدلالة القرآن على جميع النساء. So if now the ruling of this verse is general by the circumstantial evidence, by the circumstantial Quranic evidence, then now you must know that the hijab is an obligation by way of evidence in the Quran upon all of the women. She says here, انتهى كلامه بتصرف. That, and this is the end of his statement. And she says, بتصرف, indicating that she made some summarization in the transmission that she mentioned from that work. So to summarize the meaning again of the verse, yani Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. And if you ask the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for any of your needs, you ask them about affairs in their religion or any other affairs that you need to speak with them about, then you must ask them from behind the hijab. And we have seen the issue of this in the previous class whenever this was established with a narration of Anas radiallahu anhu. And then Allah, he mentions the wisdom from that. ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنْ. This is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. So the wisdom for the hijab being set up here in this, and being set as an obligation here between the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and between others, is that it's more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. So if that's the case for them, then those after them likewise, no doubt, to speak to the woman behind the hijab, that, or that a woman speaks to men that are not from her family, that are strangers to her, from behind the hijab, and that a man speaks to a woman who is not from her family, that is a stranger to him, behind the hijab, this is more rightful for those coming in the later generations, because the wisdom is the same. It's purer for your hearts, the men and the women. It's purer for the hearts, men and the women, meaning it's safer for them. It's safer for them to keep their heart pure whenever there's a hijab there, whenever there's a screen there, and whenever one is not freely mixing and the likes like this. This is safer and cleaner for a person's heart, because if he starts coming close, we have seen in the previous class likewise that the al-mar'atu awra, that the woman, she is an awra, and likewise that the shaitan, he lures people by way of her. And also we have seen as well that the woman, she is beautiful, she has beauty. And also we have seen that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ما تركت فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. مَا تَرَكْتُ فِتْنَةً عَلَى أُمَّتِ بَعْدِي أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I never left any fitna or trial that is more severe upon the men of my ummah after me than women. So the women, they are fitna for the men. So the fact that the men and the women, they if they have to talk to each other, it's behind the hijab, it's with the hijab, with the type of screening that is legislated and proper. This is أطهر لقلوبكم وقلوبهن. This is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. This is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts, so that their hearts will be pure and safe from any impermissible lust and desires growing in the heart. And also it is safer for their honor and reputation that people will not accuse them of falling into fahisha. So this is a general wisdom, and this particular ruling is coupled with that general wisdom, and this clarifies that ruling is not specific, rather it's general, just like the wisdom for the ruling. So to emphasize this affair and to shed light on that is some benefits that Shaykh As-Sa'di, he mentioned in his tafsir with regards to this verse. And he says that after mentioning the ruling, that whenever you ask the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for something, then you must ask behind a curtain or a veil. He says, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ حِكْمَةَ ذَلِكَ بِقَوْلِهِ. And then Allah, he mentioned the wisdom for this with his statement. ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَارُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِمْ. this is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. So the Shaykh, he says, لِأَنَّهُ أَبْعَدُ عَنَ الرِّيبَ وَكُلَّمَا بَعُدَ الْإِنسَانُ عَنِ الْأَسْبَابِ الدَّاعِيَةِ إِلَى الشَّرِّ فَإِنَّهُ أَسْلَمُ لَهُ وَأَطْهَرُ لِقَلْبِهِ. And the wisdom for this is more pure for your hearts and for their hearts, because it's further away from arriba, from this accusation, and from falling into doubts, and falling into places where a person, he could expose himself to being tried by desires and lust that are impermissible. So the Shaykh, he says, so whenever a person is further away, whenever a person is further away from the means that call to evil, then he's safer in his religion and his heart is purer and more clean. So a person, maybe these things don't even cross his mind. Maybe don't even cross her mind. They don't even think about these affairs. But then if they come up and he's exposed to them, then now the devil, he begins to whisper in the soul, it begins to call to evil. وَإِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. And indeed the soul, it calls to evil. It calls to evil. And those who are weak and are not able to fight their soul and to strive against their soul in the path of Allah, their soul overcomes them many times. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Along with the whispers of the devils from the men and from the jinn. From the men and from the jinn. So the Shaykh, he says, فَلِهَذَا مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ أَلَّتِي بَيَّنَهَا اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا مِنْ تَفَاصِيلِهَا أَنَّ جَمِيعَ وَسَائِلِ الشَّرِّ وَأَسْبَابِهِ وَمُقَدِّمَاتِهِ مَمْنُوعَةٌ وَأَنَّهُ مَشْرُوعٌ الْبُعْدُ عَنْهَا بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. So he says, rahimahullah, so based upon this, from the legislative affairs that Allah has clarified many details in His book, is that all of the means that lead to evil and all of the pathways that lead a person to evil, they're all forbidden. They're all forbidden. And it's legislated to avoid them in every way possible. It's legislated to avoid them in every way possible. So this is similar to some of the benefits that we have taken in the previous classes about this affair. That al-wasa'il laha ahkam al-maqasid. And if something is forbidden, the means that lead to that likewise are forbidden. And if something is an obligation, then the means that lead to that likewise are an obligation. And likewise, the same ruling applies to that which is recommended, or to that which is disliked, or that which is mubah, so on and so forth. So again, to go back to the issue that the author is referring to and establishing from the statement of about Imam al-Shanqiti rahimahullah ta'ala, and this principle in Usul al-Fiqh, that the illah, here it's called the illah in the terminology of the people of Usul al-Fiqh, but the illah, it means the sabab. And also another synonym, or what is intended from the word the illah, is al-hikmah. Yani with Ahl al-Sunnah, the illah is the hikmah, the wisdom for the reason. The wisdom for the ruling and the reason for the ruling. The reason for the ruling with Ahl Sunnah is the wisdom. Is the wisdom behind the legislation of this particular right, whether it's obligatory or whether it's forbidden, whether it's recommended or whether it's disliked, or whether it's allowed. There's wisdom behind these affairs. There's wisdom behind these affairs. Wallah, and Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the most wise, Al Hakim, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Al Hakim, Al Alim. So other examples of how the wisdom behind a particular ruling, or the illah, the reason for a particular ruling, could make something general is in the hadith which is mutafiqun alayhi, from the hadith of Abi Bakrata radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, la yaqdiyan hakamun bayna ithnayni wa huwa ghadban, that a judge, he must not judge and rule between two while he's angry. Between two while he's angry. So here, there's a prohibition for making a judgment. There's a prohibition for a judge ruling and making a judgment between two people while he's angry. While he's angry. So the reason for this ruling, the people of knowledge have clarified that whenever a person is angry, his mind is mushawish, and if he badihi tashwish, and his soul and his mind is disturbed. And he's not able to think clearly because his emotions are riled up, and the anger has got him hot, and he's not able to judge properly in this state. So the people of knowledge, they have mentioned, because of the reason for this ruling, while he's not allowed to judge while he's angry, then it's not only specific to while he's angry, rather because the reason is mentioned here, what happens when one becomes angry is his mind becomes disturbed and is not able to think clearly and make proper judgment because of the emotions being riled, so on and so forth. Then likewise, any other circumstance as well, like if he's hungry or if he's tired or if he's extremely happy, so on and so forth, any other affair that may disturb him, or if he needs to go to the bathroom and he's holding his urine, or the likes, all of these affairs are issues that disturb his concentration and his ability to think clearly. So they're included in the ruling. So one, he should not judge while he's angry, between two, nor whenever he's thirsty and hungry, nor whenever he is extremely tired, or nor whenever he has a need to relieve himself, and the likes like this, all of this is included. So it's not specific to that one affair. Rather, because we understand the reason for this particular ruling, that reason has now made it general. And this is the proof here. This is the proof here. Any of the aspect of that. It's not only in this narrative, it's not only in this ayah that this is understood. Rather, there are other examples of how the wisdom or the reason for a ruling is mentioned, and it makes that ruling general. And likewise, in the poetry mentioned on the other case, there are examples as well. Whenever the wisdom for the ruling is mentioned, and it makes that ruling specific. And we're not going to go into all of these details now. I think with that which is mentioned here, we understand the intent from the author in mentioning this issue and transmitting this portion from the Tafsir Adwa al-Bayan. So in any case, it's established that the last point here, again from the statement of Ash-Shanqiti rahimahullah, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْحِجَابَ وَاجِبٌ بِدِدَالَةِ الْقُرْآنِ عَلَى جَمِيعَ النِّسَاءِ. So now we understand that the hijab, the Islamic covering, is an obligation upon all of the women by evidence from the Qur'an. And it's from understanding these principles here and understanding the wisdom for the particular ruling that we are discussing. So the author, she says now, حَفِيظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and he's moving on to another topic. وَغَيْرَةُ الرِّجَالِ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَنْ قَدْ انْتَزَعَتْ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبِّي. وَغَيْرَةُ الرِّجَالِ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَنْ قَدْ انْتَزَعَتْ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبِّي. And the غَيْرَة of the men, in these times has been stripped from them, except for those whom my Lord shows mercy to. And in referring to a sad situation many of the men are facing today from this ummah, that the ghayra, the sense of protective love and honor and dignity for their women, has been stripped from their hearts. Not only from their women, for their deen likewise, and the tawheed of their Lord and the sunnah of their Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rights of the sahaba radiallahu anhum as well. Wallahu al-musta'an. But specifically here, she's mentioning with regards to the women, that the ghayra. The ghayra is a protective love and jealousy. It's a protective love and jealousy that whenever it's cultivated properly, it's from the best actions of the heart, and the greatest means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's a means of preserving and protecting the heart from all types of evil. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the ghayra, al-ghayra in the heart is this warm love and jealousy. It's a sense of love, a protective love and jealousy. And it's like a heat in the heart. It's like a heat in the heart that will burn away all of the filth that comes into the heart, and all of the evils. It will do away with that whenever it's proper. But if it's not kept proper, it can overcome a person's heart and his soul, and it could lead him to transgress the limits likewise. And if it's not cultivated properly as well, it can die out and go away and not benefit a person. And if that happens, then he will not have any sense of honor and dignity and protection for his religion and the rights of his religion and his women and those under his care. And she's saying here that this is something that has been stripped from many men, from the hearts of many men. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ نَعُذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ نَعُذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, except for those whom my Lord has mercy on. May Allah have mercy on us. وَلِهَذَا هُوَ يَتْرُقُهَا تَخْرُجُ مُتَبَرِّجَةً وَتَخْتَلِطُ بِالرِّجَالِ فِي الْمَدَارِسِ وَفِي الْأَسْوَاقِ وَفِي غَيْرِهَا. And for this reason, and for the fact that the ghayra has been stripped from his heart, he lets his women leave out mutabarrijah. and he leave out displaying their her beauty and adornment, and go out mixing with the men in the schools and in the markets and other than that. وَإِنَّ أَمْرَ التَّبَرُّجِ لَيْسَ بِالْهَيِّنِ فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. And the issue of it, tabarruj, leaving the home and displaying the beauty and not being covered properly. Leaving the home and displaying the beauty and not being covered properly in accordance to the legislation and law that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not something light. It's not something light. فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. Indeed, it is from the major sins. Indeed, it is from the major sins. She says, Qala al-Imam Muslim. Al-Imam Muslim, he mentioned rahimahullah. Al-Imam Muslim, he mentioned rahimahullah. Haddathani Zuhair ibn Harb. Qala haddathana Jarir. An Suhail. An Abihi. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. Annahu qal. Qala Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. She mentioned the statement of Al-Imam Muslim with his chain to Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, he said, Sinfani min ahli an-nar lam arahuma, that there are two categories of inhabitants of the hellfire, and sinfani min ahli an-nar, there are two categories of people, two types of people. From the people of the hellfire, I have not seen them yet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this. The first one, قَوْمٌ مَعُهُمْ سِيَاطٌ كَأَذْنَى بِالْبَقْرِ يَضْرِبُونَ بِهَا النَّاسِ. The first group is people holding whips like the tails of oxen with which they beat the people. Any individuals that will come in the later generations with whips, striking and beating the people and punishing them and persecuting them with whips. And this is something that had come any later from some of the rulers and those who had authority. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. In the second category, which is the shahid. وَنِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ مُمِيلَاتٌ مَائِلَاتٌ رُؤُوسُهُنَّ كَأَسْنِمَةِ الْبُخْتِ الْمَائِلَةِ رُؤُوسُهُنَّ كَأَسْنِمَةِ الْبُخْتِ الْمَائِلَةِ لَا يَدْخُلْنَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يَجِدْنَ رِيحَهَا وَإِنَّ رِيحَهَا لَيُجَدُ مِنْ مَسِيرَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And the second category, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned from the people of the hellfire that he had not yet himself seen, and women who put on clothes but still appear naked, who are inclined to evil, and they make others inclined to evil likewise. They are inclined to evil, and they call and entice others to incline to evil also. Their heads are like the humps of camel, leaning to one side. They will neither enter paradise nor even find its fragrance. They will neither enter paradise nor find the scent of paradise, although the scent of paradise can be perceived and found from such and such distance. From far off. So this is a clarification that, as she mentioned, leaving out mutabarrija without the proper clothing, without the proper hijab, even if someone claims it's hijab, like we've seen before, it's not hijab, it's a hijab that needs hijab, then it's a hijab that needs hijab. This is all included. This is all included. So the issue is, and some are more severe than others, but leaving out without the proper hijab. The hijab that's not a means of beautification, it's not the means of adornment, it's not attractive, it's not drawing the attention of the people. It's the one that's legislative, it's the one that's fulfilling the purpose of the legislation of the hijab. ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنَّ. That is pure, more pure for your hearts and for their hearts. The hijab that is going to be a means of purity and keeping the heart safe from these ill thoughts and ideas and desires and lusts that creep into the heart whenever a man he sees a woman. Whenever a man he sees a woman, even any of the, and likewise the opposite. And likewise the opposite. So this narration, the portion that we're discussing, is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Nisa'un kasiyat." So this narration clarifies that this affair is a major sin. And the portion that we're discussing is with regards to this issue. "Nisa'un kasiyatun ariyat." Nisa'un kasiyatun ariyat. These are two opposites. These are two opposites. The women who are kasiyat, ariyat. Kasiyat meaning they're wearing clothing. They have kiswa. They have kiswa, but at the same time, the ariyat, they're wearing clothing, but at the same time they're bare and naked. At the same time they're bare and naked. So the people of knowledge, they have discussed this narration with much benefit and details. And we take some of these benefits, what the people of knowledge have mentioned about this affair. And Al-Qurtubi, Al-Muhaddith, he died in the year 656. There are two known as Al-Qurtubi, Al-Qurtubi Al-Muhaddith and Al-Qurtubi Al-Mufassir. Al-Qurtubi Al-Mufassir, he's the one who has the tafsir Al-Qurtubi that is well known. 671 is when he died. There's another one, Abu al-Abbas Al-Qurtubi, he died in the year 656. He's known as Al-Qurtubi Al-Muhaddith. Al-Qurtubi Al-Muhaddith. He has an explanation of Sahih Muslim. It's called Al-Mufhim. Al-Mufhim. So he mentioned in this explanation some benefits with regards to this. The fact that they are kasiyat aliyat. And how could a woman have on clothing at the same time she's considered bare and naked? How could she have on clothing yet at the same time she's considered bare and naked? Bare and naked. Waliyadhu billah. So it's been mentioned, annahum annahunna kasiyatun bilibas bilibas al-athwab al-riqaq al-rafi'ah alati la tashturu minhunna hajma al-awrah. That their women, they're wearing clothing, but their clothing is thin and tight and is lifted, and it does not cover the shape of their aura, and it displays their beauty and their enticing shape and figure. مع وجود الأثواب الساترة عليها ما لا يحل لها أن تبديها. Along with the fact that she has some clothing on, but it's not covering that which is not allowed for her to display. And so the women, there are women who they cover themselves, they're wearing clothing, but the clothing is not covering them properly. And a part of it is revealing that which is not allowed to be revealed. And likewise, it's enticing and it's tight or see-through. And the lights like this until the awrah is not covered properly. Or the awrah is the size or the shape of the awrah or of the figure of the body is displayed although she's wearing clothing. Although she's wearing clothing. The point that I make now is in his statement, كَمَا تَفْعَلُ الْبَغَايَ كَمَا تَفْعَلُ الْبَغَايَ الْمُشْتَهِرَاتِ بِالْفِسْقِ. Like the prostitutes were, those who are known for الْفِسْق. Those who are known for fisq. And this is the way of the prostitutes. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So he says he died in the year 656. So also, it's been mentioned, أَنَّهُنَّ any another. There's many interpretations of this, any benefits that derive from these understandings. أَنَّهُنَّ كَاسِيَاتٌ مِنَ الثِّيَابِ عَرِيَاتٌ مِنْ لِبَاسِ التَّقْوَى. Also, it's been mentioned that they are wearing garments, but they are bare and naked of piety. They are wearing garments, any clothing, but it's not proper nor correct, and therefore, because of that, they are bare and naked of the garment of piety. We have discussed this in our previous class. Likewise, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the garment of piety, this is best and better. And this is what Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And then, to summarize now, Qurtubi, He mentioned, rahimahullah, that it's not far off that both issues are intended, and one of them leads to the other. And one of them is established along with the other. So whenever they're wearing these lowly garments, like the prostitutes were, displaying their adornment and their beauty, covering part of their body and revealing another part, or wearing garments that are see-through, or garments that are tight, that display the figure and the lights like this, this is because they are bare and naked of piety in their heart. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So this is clearly from the major sins. This is clearly from the major sins. Likewise, it has been mentioned in the benefits of this by Al-Mazidi. Al-Mazidi also, he has an explanation of Sahih Muslim, which was before Al-Qurtubi. He died in the year 536. So he says, فِيهِ ثَلَاثَةُ أَوْجُ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَرِيَاتٌ, that they are wearing garments, but at the same time they are bare and naked. And in this regards, there are three understandings. Number one, كَاسِيَاتٌ مِنْ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَرِيَاتٌ مِنْ الشُّكْرِ, that they are wearing, their كَاسِيَات, meaning they're wearing the garments, they're bearing and taking on the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but they're bare and naked of showing thanks and gratitude for that. But they're bare and naked from showing thanks and gratitude for that. The second understanding, كَاسِيَاتٌ لِبَعْضِ أَجْسَادِهِنَّ وَعَرِيَاتٌ لِبَعْضِهِ إِظْهَارًا لِلْجَمَالِ إِظْهَارًا لِلْجَمَالِ, that they are covering, wearing garments on part of their body, and they are bare and naked on other parts, displaying their beauty. displaying their beauty. The third aspect that he's mentioning here, he says, رحمه الله, لابساتم ثيابا رقاقا تصف ما تحتها, that they're wearing thin, see-through garments that describe and show that which is underneath them. Showing, wearing garments that are see-through. You can see behind them and that which is underneath them, either directly or by, because it's so tight. Because it's so tight that the curves and the figure becomes very clear for all to see. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. Also, it has been mentioned by Ibn al-Arabi, al-Maliki. There are two individuals with names that are similar. One of them, his name is Ibn al-Arabi, with the alif wa-lam, yani al-Ma'arraf. Al-Ma'arraf, Ibn al-Arabi, al-Maliki. He died in the year
543.
This one's easy, 543. So he is an upright scholar of hadith from the Maliki Madhab. And he's honorable and respected, rahimahullah. He has many works from the Ahkam al-Qur'an and other than that likewise. But there's another one who has a similar name without Alif and Lam. His name is Ibn Arabi. So we don't mix these two up. Ibn Arabi, he's from the Zanadiqa, waliyadhu billah, from the people, from those individuals whom the people of knowledge had declared to be a disbeliever. He was from the thinkers and the philosophers and those people like this who got involved in philosophy and the knowledge of Kalam, so on and so forth, and they deviated in a great manner to what many of the people of knowledge declared them to be disbelievers. So he is Ibn Arabi al-Munakkar, yani bin Nakira, Arabi, without Alif and Lam. This one is yani like the word Nakira, yani he's evil and foul. Wadiyatha billah, as for Ibn al-Arabi, then he is, inshallah, from the scholars of the Sunnah. So he says, Ibn al-Arabi, fa'ala nisa, yani this is with regards to the other description. So the first description here is that they are kasiyat ariyat. Kasiyat ariyat. And then after that, that they are mumilat ma'ilat. Kasiyat ariyat, we have seen some benefits with regards to that. I mean, they're wearing clothing, but at the same time, they're bare and naked. Mumilat ma'ilat, that they themselves are deviant and inclined to evil, and they deviate and lead others and entice them to incline to evil as well. Here the statement of Ibn al-Arabi, rahimahullah, it's with regards to وَرُؤُسُهُنَّ كَأَسْنِيمَةِ الْبُخْتِ الْمَائِلَةِ, and their heads are like the humps of camels leaning to the side. He says, فَعَلَى النِّسَى أَنْ يُصَغِّرْنَ رُؤُسَهُنَّ سِيمَ عِنْدِ الْخُرُوجِ فَإِنْ كَانَ شَعْرُهَا كَثِيرًا أَرْسَلَتْهُ وَلَا تُعَذِّمْهُ, that it's incumbent for the women to make their heads small, not large, especially whenever they leave out of their homes. So if she has a lot of hair, she should let it fall and not gather it up and make it large. This was mentioned by Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki, rahimahullah, who died in the year 543. Now we move on to the next description, mumilatun ma'ilat. That they are mumilat ma'ilat. Any ma'ilat, meaning that they are themselves deviant. Ma'ilat, they have inclinations to evil. Their hearts are inclined to evil and deviation. Desires and lusts that are forbidden. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ مُمِيلَاتِ, that they entice others to do that. So here in Nawawi, rahimahullah, in Sharh Sahih Muslim, he mentioned in Nawawi, he died in the year 676. He says, وَأَمَّا مَائِلَاتِ فَقِيلَ مَعْنَاهُ عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَمَا يَلْزَمُهُنَّ حِفْظُهُ, that they're ma'ilat, that they're inclined, they themselves are inclined to evil, meaning that this means that they are inclined away, that they are inclined away from the obedience of Allah and that which is incumbent for them to protect and preserve, and to guard, meaning from their chastity and from their honor and from their body. So this is from the meaning of that they are inclined away from obedience to disobedience and away from the upright path to the way of deviation and away from striving upon the soul to falling into whims and desires. And he said, rahimahullah, mumirat. They entice others and they lure others and they call others to be like them. Yani and lean to misguidance or to deviation or to sin and transgression. He says, أَيُعَلِّمْنَا غَيْرَهُنَّ فِعْلَهُنَّ الْمَذْمُومِ, يُعَلِّمْنَا غَيْرَهُنَّ فِعْلَهُنَّ الْمَذْمُومِ, meaning that they teach others their blameworthy actions. They teach others their blameworthy actions. And we see this in these days, and some people, they don't even realize that. They will come out of their house and they will not abide by the proper hijab, and others will see them and follow them in that. And they're called as tufisad. And they're called as tufisad, even if they didn't intend that. But because of their negligence or because of themselves, that they themselves are ma'ila. She's ma'ila an al-haqi wa an al-ta'a. She herself is inclined to disobedience and inclined away from obedience. And she has no strong desire to follow the legislation properly and sincerely for the sake of Allah. And therefore she covers herself however she likes, without any restrictions or any limits, without any law or with any prescription, without any law or ordained prescribed manner, and the likes like this. She just does it however the people they do it. Wrap something around your head, or the likes like this, or just put it around your body like this, whatever color it may be, or even some of them, they choose the bright colors or the beautiful colors, and even they look even more beautiful in the hijab than if she didn't even wear the hijab. What do you have to be like? She's going to discuss this likewise. So many times, people who are striving themselves initially to work hard in the obedience of Allah and they want to follow the right way, whenever they see these women like this, they're tried. These women, they're a trial. The women who don't wear the proper hijab, especially around here, they're a trial, because there's no true role models, or very few. There's very few. Allah musta'an, the qudwa hasana, who's striving to cover property from the women and to implement the sunnah correctly for the sake of Allah from our women. So those women who are not covered property, they are bad role models, and they're affecting our youth, Our youth are affected by them. This is a problem. Ma'ilat mumilat. These are the women here. They're inclined to evil, and they lead others to evil, and they call others to evil, and they teach others that evil way. This is what he says. Yu'allimna ghayrahunna fi'lahunna al-madhmum. They're teaching others their blameworthy actions. Wa'liyadhibillah. Wa qila ma'ilat yamshina mutabakhtirat. It's been mentioned the meaning of ma'ilat, that they themselves are ma'ilat. Ma'ilat, inclined to this evil. Another interpretation is Yamshina mutabakhtirat, that they're walking arrogantly and proudly. You can tell that she's deviant. You can tell that she is arrogant from just the way that they walk. And this is not only specific to women, also men the same way. But this class is about women. And discussion here in the hadith is about women. A group of women or a type of women that's never been seen by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they're from the people of the fire, and he informed us that they will come, and we see him in our days, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So this is also an interpretation of that. So a woman, even if she covers herself properly all the way entirely, if she doesn't also purify her heart as well, she will walk around arrogantly, thinking that she's better than others, and this is even a foul way. This is even a fouler way. Wudiyadhu billah. The diseases of the heart and the major sins of the heart, like kibr and ujb and gurur. And the likes like this, these are even more severe than the major sins of the body parts. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is also an interpretation of that. Those women who are deviant, many of the time this is the case, they're deviant in themselves and they're inclined to evil, and then they walk around like they're better than everybody else. And you can see their arrogance and pride in the manner that they walk. So then he says, Mumilat. This is the other word. There's two words. Ma'ilat, mumilat. So they have two descriptions. Ma'ilat, meaning in themselves. Fi anfusihinna. They themselves, they're leaning and inclined towards evil. Mumilat, meaning they're leading and inclining others. They're leading and calling others and teaching others that lowly way. He mentions the meaning of mumilat. يَمْشِينَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتْ مُمِيلَاتْ لِيَكْتَافِهِنَّ. That they're walking arrogantly and proudly while they are while they are swerving with their shoulders to the side and the likes like this. مُمِيلَاتْ لِأَكْتَافِهِنَّ. You can see it in their walk. They're walking arrogantly and then they're moving their shoulders and to the side and the likes like this. And this is seen in her walk. Also, he mentioned وَقِيلَ مَائِلَاتْ يَمْشُطْنَ الْمُشْطَةَ الْمَائِلَ وَهِيَ مُشْتَطُ الْبَغَايَ. It's been mentioned here, the word ma'ilat, that they're ma'ilat, meaning that they lean themselves. They themselves are leaning or inclined to evil. From the interpretation of that is that they comb their hair in this leaning manner. They comb their hair until their hair is called a mushtah al-ma'ila. You need the leaning hairstyle. And he says, and this is the hairstyle of the prostitutes. And this is in the time of Nawawi, rahimahullah, who died in 676. So the prostitutes, they had a way that they make their hair like this, and this is something that is known. And even if a woman today, she's not a prostitute, some of them, but they have their hair like that. That means that they're loose. That means that they're ready. Those people who have those women from this society especially, and those from the disbelievers especially, and those who many of our Muslim women are tried by imitating, waliyadhu billah, this is what they do. This is what is known about them. And they have their hair like that, or they dress like that because that's what they do. Even if it's not for money, it's for other reasons. For other reasons, waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah, meaning that their fornication is their way. And this is known in America. So then he says, rahimahullah, mumilatun. يَمْشُطْنَ غَيْرَهُنَّ تِلْكَ الْمُشْطَى, meaning that they themselves, their hair is leaning, and they have their hair in this particular hairstyle, and also they're combing others' hairs to do like that as well. So all of this has been mentioned in this interpretation. So not only the hijab has to be in accordance to the legislation, likewise the hairstyle, sister, has to be in accordance to the legislation. And likewise, we can say the brothers as well. And again, the narration is about women, and so is the class. So we're focusing on this issue. The hairstyle has to be in accordance to the legislation. We don't raise it up. We're not put it in a perm in this manner, or we put it in a particular way that's imitating the women from the disbelievers, or the corrupt women from the Muslims. You have your hair in a manner that is pleasing to your Lord who created your hair and provided for you. Barakallahu feek. Barakallahu feek. So then he mentioned, rahimahullah, wa ma'na ru'usuhunna ka asnimatil bukht. And the meaning, this is from the statement of the Nawawi rahimahullah, and the meaning that their heads are like the humps of camels. And then he says, meaning that they cover their heads and they wrap up their head and they cover it. Yani, like an imama, they wrap their head until their head is tall and long, where they gather up their hair, like has been mentioned before, and then they cover their head, and their head looks big, going up or leaning to the side or going to the back, and the likes like this. All of this has been mentioned in the interpretation of this narration. So the point here to see that this is the description of a group of women, or a type of women who will be in the hellfire. And then not only will they be in the hellfire, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يدخلن الجنة ولا يجدن ريحها, that they will not enter paradise, nor will they find its scent. And its scent can be found from the distance of such and such and such and such, any from a far distance. And this narration is understood as all of the narrations with regards to the threat of the punishment of Allah azza wa jal, meaning according to the understanding of Ahlul Sunnah and the scholars of Hadith, meaning they will not enter paradise, and they will not find the scent of paradise, and they will not enter paradise with those who enter first and foremost. And if they're Muslims. If it was a Muslim woman, and she died upon Islam, but she was upon this way, this foul and lowly way, which is a major sin, or she died upon any other major sin, along with the fact that she has faith, then she is under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Like the sinners from this ummah, those who die upon major sins, they're under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, and threatened with the punishment of the hellfire. And they're not promised to enter with those who enter with no punishment and with no reckoning. Rather, they enter. If they enter, they will enter after they are punished in the hellfire and cleansed. Punished in the hellfire and cleansed if Allah did not pardon them. So they will not enter paradise, meaning they will not enter the hellfire with the first and foremost, or they will not enter without first being punished. Meaning without first being punished and purified in the hellfire, because of the other evidences that clarify that anyone who dies upon faith, and if he's tried with the punishment of the hellfire, then they will be taken out eventually according to the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla, whenever Allah wills, and they will be admitted into paradise. So the likes of these women are under this threat. So she says here, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ دَلَائِلِ النَّبُوَّةِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ مَا أَخْوَرَ بِهِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And this narration is from the evidences of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and because indeed this issue here has occurred just as he informed. And in the later generations, these people have appeared, and they have been seen, and they have been known, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned. And with that, we close. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.